Forecast for tonight, a chance of drizzle after 11 p.m. along with patchy fog, cloudy conditions, and lows around 52 degrees. Your forecast for tomorrow calls for sunny conditions once again by the afternoon with highs right around 70 degrees. Your boaters forecast for the Monterey Bay today, west winds 10 to 20 knots, wind waves less than 2 feet, and northwest swell to 4 feet every 9 seconds along with patchy fog. Outside KSEO studios, it's 55 degrees. The time is now 10:06. Coming up next, the Saturday special with your host, MZ. This show is being brought to you by KSEO.com. For the latest in news, traffic, and weather, and a chance to purchase your book by Kay's Whirling, be sure to log on to KSEO.com. Open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Coming up next, as promised, the Saturday special with your host, Michael Zwirling.
And we always keep our promises, don't we?
Always.
Okay. Dave, it's nice to see you again.
Oh, thank you, sir. Nice to see you.
Are you getting sick and tired of coming in on Saturdays?
No, I love it. I
really?
Love it. Yeah, sure. Cool. And then with a show like this, holy smokes. Are we going to get into it today?
A show like this.
I can't wait.
One of the guests here is listening to the headphones, but the other two are not, so they don't know what we're saying because the mic is shut off. But, yeah, it's going to be a good show. We're saying that it's going to be a very, very interesting program. I would put those things on if you guys don't mind, because that way I was telling them they didn't have to put the headphones on except until the
Did you freak them out because of the Lysol? Got them thinking that there's germs everywhere.
Did you ever find the Lysol? Not the Lysol. I would never use Lysol when I could use PureWorks spray.
Ah, I see.
Right, from Youngevity.
Duh. You know? Yeah, of course.
Yeah, and you know, I think I could put spray this in my mouth, and I think it'll be good.
We should try selling that stuff.
We do sell it, but we don't sell it enough.
How can we get it? KSEO team? KSEO.com?
KSEO team, yeah. KSEO team. That's right, Dave. And by golly, I think you're going to be helping us with that here pretty quick, which is fantastic. So I guess what we need to do is start the show officially, and it's not loaded here, so you've
got
to do it,
I guess. Sure, I got it.
Okay, great, thanks.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time. We've got tunes. We've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go. It's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
Welcome to the KSCO Saturday Special. MZ here, and we're going to have a really interesting program, the kind of program that we feel does a great service to the community. It's a controversial topic, and we have competent and articulate spokespersons representing all sides. Stay with us.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Dave, I think Crossfire is very appropriate here. Yeah, very good. Thank you. Hey, you know what? I got all discombobulated. The Crossfire, we usually play the promo first.
Right, that's what I thought. I got that ready to go, too.
Okay, good. Well, you can do that. Yeah, we can do that anytime here, so we'll know what the program's all about. Okay. You've been hearing discussions and even some editorials on KSCO lately regarding noise problems at the Santa Cruz County Fairgrounds that could result in the end of a long history of weekend auto racing events and perhaps even closing of the fair itself. A group of about 20 people named Community Alliance for Fairgrounds Accountability is taking legal action to silence racing and other events at the fairgrounds. Some believe this group has an agenda to close the fairgrounds and use the land for housing development. What's the truth here? We have invited both camps to appear together in studio for a great debate. Plaintiff and Community Alliance group leader Max Kelly has confirmed he will appear. His attorney, Jonathan Whitwer, probably will not. County Fair board members Brian Mathias and Loretta Estrada will appear. You should tune in and weigh in on the next KSCO special this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, right here on We Pledge to Get to the Bottom of This Once and For All Radio, AM 1080 KSCO. Oh, Okay, so we've already played the crossfire, so we don't need to do that again. Welcome guests, studio guests. Brian Mathias is a representative of the County Fair Board, one of nine people, I think you said.
Yeah, I'm just Brian. One of nine members on the board of directors. I'm here to give my own views on the matter. I'm sure the rest of the board has their own opinions as well, but I'm here today to give my view on my experiences, what I see going on at the fairgrounds.
Do you think any of the other board members will be listening and maybe perhaps calling in?
Oh, I couldn't speculate about that. I would imagine so, yes.
Yeah. Okay, great. So our other guests are Max Kelly, who is the I guess, leader of the organization that is bringing the action against the fair, and Alan Harriman, who is also a member of the Community Alliance for Fairground Accountability, I guess a group that was started. Give us the background. First of all, Max, you have lived near the fairgrounds in a house that you moved there some years ago. Is that right?
Not exactly.
Oh, okay.
First of all, let me thank you, for inviting us to participate a little bit and maybe help resolve some misconceptions.
Good.
Anyway, I did not move my house to its current location. That house was moved there about 20 years ago. I moved in, my wife and I moved in about 10 years ago.
Okay.
And
so the house had been moved there by the previous owner, I guess.
Well, there were two owners previous to myself and my wife.
Okay. Where had the house been before?
It was on the other side of the fairgrounds. It was on East Lake. It was about a half a mile towards Watsonville, still in the county, outside Watsonville city limits, and it was basically on the other side of the fairgrounds. It was an old farmhouse.
Right. Okay, and so it's sort of before your time, but if you know the history, it'd be interesting to share. You know, so why it's not very often that houses are moved. When I was a kid, it was done a lot more frequently than it is these days. Why do you move a house instead of just build a new one, you know?
In this particular case, this is a classic Queen Anne Victorian designed by famous architect William Weeks.
Oh, okay.
But it was a victim of the Loma Prieta earthquake.
Ah.
Okay, in 89.
Okay.
So it was basically shaken off its foundation, and it was scheduled for demolition. There was a contractor around at the time that thought he could move it in pieces, and he did so. In about 44 pieces, he moved it to its current location and built a new foundation, that farmland still exists.
So where it was originally, it was not on a foundation. Excuse me if you've answered that already. It wasn't on a foundation, or the earthquake had shaken it off the foundation.
Those old foundations were, rock and brick and not very well put together.
Right.
It wasn't reinforced masonry.
The reason for not rebuilding the house on the old site, I guess it was just a bunch of money needed to be spent, and so they wanted to get a better site for it.
I think the current owners at the time, from what I understand, the current owners at the time wanted to simply tear it down. It was an old farmhouse, gone into disrepair, and the land was basically just, was being used for farming.
So a contractor, not you.
Not me.
And not related to you in any way.
Right.
Decided to preserve the house and just acquire a parcel that is either as adjacent to or very close to the fairground property, yes?
Right. There were a number of parcels available, on that street and elsewhere. Why he chose that one, I don't know.
Right. Okay. And so so that's what he did. And you say that was about 10 years ago, something like that?
No, that was 20 years.
About 20 years.
It was early
90s.
You've
been there 10 years.
I've been there 10 years.
Okay. And so you bought the property from that contractor?
No. That contractor had sold it to another couple. And then we purchased it from them in 2001.
I gotcha. Okay, and you knew it was close to the fairgrounds, and the fairgrounds tend to have noise, right?
Of course, yes.
Okay, so what's the problem? Has it gotten worse over the years? Or
yes. You know? That's basically the problem. We were fine with what was going on. I mean, it was you know, the noise was tolerable. We knew there were races, and what had happened in 2000, starting about 2006, was a number of things started getting louder and more frequent, and we weren't quite sure why. And a number of neighbors were saying the same things. Doesn't it seem louder than it's been in the past? What's going on? Uh-huh. Yeah, so this escalated. It turns out in a review of the schedules, the race schedules, there were about two races added and 2 months added. There were two races added every year. 2 months were added to the schedule starting in about 2006. So and every two years, every year past 2006, there were about two more races added until the beginning of this year, we had a scheduled race. Races were scheduled to be about 40 races for this year, the beginning of the year. Now, that has since changed, but that's what was scheduled this year. Originally, there were only 30 races scheduled. Okay, there were actually fewer than that. There were only only about 26.7 races scheduled in the years 1994 to 1999. That's 26.7. And because of rainouts, there was actually only 24.
And these races always took place on the weekends, right?
Always took place on Fridays, not even on Saturdays.
Okay.
And nothing during the fair.
Uh-huh.
And this has changed, and the number of races currently has increased. You know, like I said, the scheduled races for this year was 40. It's been dropped back temporarily for this year, I think probably based on some of the controversy, but there's nothing in the contract that'll hold it.
Michael, there's nowhere near 40 races that are going to be scheduled this year. There's probably going to be about 29 races. And
because have they been cut back or is...
I'm not sure if they've been cut back or it's due to rainouts or schedules, but there's 29 races, and the difference between 26 races when this guy moved in next door to the fairgrounds and 29 races this year, so he's suing us over a difference of three races. You know, three nights of additional noise, that's what he's suing over. That's not substantial. There's always been noise. There's always been races at the fairgrounds. Both these plaintiffs knew very well that there's going to be a lot of noise generated from the fairgrounds when they moved in, and subsequently from moving in, they've decided they didn't like it, and now they're bringing suit. This is no different than moving next door to an airport and then suing the airport to shut it down because you didn't like the noise, knowing farewell that airplanes make noise, that there's an airport next door to you. This is no
and
different.
And the we were here first factor, too. You know, so.
This is no different than moving next door to a berry field and then suing the owner because you don't like the dust and noise generated from tractors. And it's no different than moving next door to a fair. It's the same thing. Moving next door to a fair and then suing it for noise. You knew, both of you knew very well that the fair would generate noise, and you moved here anyways. Everyone knows that the fairgrounds is at where it's at, that it's going to make noise, and that, you know, there's probably – it's going to be there for a long time. It's already been there 60 years. So to think that it's always – it's just going to drop off in noise all of a sudden, it's not ripple.
Perhaps, Brian, you should look at the history of that.
Brian Mathias, who's a member of the county fair board, that was just Brian who was talking a minute ago. And now, for the first time in this program, Alan Herriman, who is also a neighbor of the fairgrounds, is responding to what...
Yes, Brian, the fair board and yourself, of course, should look at the history of, if you focus just on the races, if that's what your focus is, that in 57, the races began. And for the most part, people living out and away from the fairgrounds hardly noticed the issue. Okay. As time progressed, the power of the race cars improved, and the exhaust systems became louder and louder. More races. In year 2000, we had a community issue about the very same thing with noise of various activities, including the races. Okay, and so the issue is that it's not only one person moving. Okay. to the vicinity of the fairgrounds. The issue is, as the fairgrounds develop their activities, they fail to look at the impact on the community surrounding it. I myself live over a mile away from the fairgrounds. My family has lived there for 120 years. Okay, we know how the fairgrounds developed in their activities and how what its impact is. So what the main focus here is that, according to Brian, it makes no difference how it affects the neighbors. The issue to the Fair Board, apparently, according to Brian, is that if you live there, you put up with our presentations, whether they be intrusive or they be innocuous or what. And that seems to be the issue of not listening to the community, all right?
Okay, well, let's go into that. When did the community, and presumably you were talking about the surrounding area where you guys and others live, start bringing to the Fair Board's attention that there was a problem that was increasing?
Very good.
When did that happen?
In approximately year 2000, am I correct, Max? We had our first meeting over there.
Well, in year 2000, that was 11 years ago.
Yes.
You mean more recently?
Well, currently. I think that's what Michael was talking about.
That was about a year ago.
Well, I'm sorry. 11 years ago, we first had a meeting with the Fair Board, the community.
Were you involved then, Brian? Probably not.
The first time I've heard of CAFA and
we've heard of CAFA. What's CAFA? We need to define that right now. So.
The CAFA is the group that's suing the fair. They came to the... I've been on the board about 4 years.
Community Alliance for Fair...
I didn't realize what I was saying.
They came to the grounds about a year ago.
The point being is that the Fair Board is aware that there are sensitivities within the community regarding noise.
Effective when, would you say?
There was a very large meeting, and several CAFA members attended, including myself.
When? A year ago?
No, this is year 2000, approximately, 11 years ago. Okay. So, and over the years, these people have contacted the fairgrounds regarding the issues, myself being one. Okay. And it all came to a head about a year ago. Okay. What Max just mentioned. And so that's where we're at. It's about the noise and the lack of understanding by the board that our community is affected by their activities.
Okay.
And so unwillingness to even look at it. Okay. So if you're asking...
I have not read the complaint.
Yes.
But let me just add, you guys know it because you're bringing it. Does the complaint talk about noise?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Okay. So obviously there is a... In your belief, there is a violation on the part of the fair on various noise ordinances, yes?
Yes, but let me make one thing clear. CAFA is pro-fairgrounds. We are for the fairgrounds. That's one important issue. We are for the fairgrounds. We want the fairgrounds to succeed. We are not against any particular event or type of events. All we want to do is mitigate some of the problems of increasing and intensification of the use of the fairgrounds.
Okay.
That includes new events or existing events that are being intensified. So we're trying and we have been trying to work with the fairgrounds in mitigating these problems. We have provided some technology regarding mufflers, for example, for the racetrack. In particular, we've provided technology and information regarding sound walls, and there has been some movement by the race promoter to actually use some of our suggestions, and there's some testing going on.
But not enough for you to have not brought suit?
We seem to have lost some communication recently, and there were some breakdown in our ad hoc committee meetings. We had ad hoc committee meetings ongoing.
When you say breakdown, were there disagreements or people just didn't want to come to the table anymore? Is that what you're talking about? Or
I think not disagreements so much as people not really wanting to come to the table. Plus, there was a particular incident where the board of directors did not really pay attention to the ad hoc committee's considerations and current conclusions and ongoing discussions.
Michael, no mistake, CAFA wants to kill the fairgrounds. They've had members of CAFA have spoken up in a board meeting. It was about 6 months ago. They said, by the time we're done with you, you're going to have to move your grounds to the west side of the freeway near the Monterey County, Santa Cruz County line, because we've found so many environmental violations out here. And if that...
Who said that and when?
That was a member of CAFA named Eric. That was about 6 months ago in an open board meeting. If that's an express threat to kill the fairgrounds, I don't know what is. Their lawyer, one of their lawyers, Gary Patton, at a meeting a few months ago, said he confirmed, well, a lawsuit could very well kill the fair. And look at the means which
CAFA... The reason it could kill a fair, because the fair is operating on a shoestring to begin with, and to have to spend all this money to defend a lawsuit would bankrupt the fair. Is that how it could kill the fair?
The fairgrounds has enough money. It's a lean and mean operation, and has enough capital to improve a large and aging infrastructure, to hire a very modest staff of about two or three permanent employees, and to put on the events we all love, like the fair. And we can't withstand a battery of frivolous lawsuits that don't really talk about noise, but a large thrust is that we're violating certain environmental regulations.
Okay, Brian, I'd like to bring your attention to neighborhood meetings that were canceled by your director. Okay.
A little closer to Mike, please.
Okay. Regarding the canceled community meetings to discuss the issues that the community has, we have three meetings scheduled. Three were canceled by the director to give input to the board. Okay. And so what message that sends to the community is we don't want to hear you. Okay. So we're wondering, I suppose what Brian is wondering, well, golly, we don't want to hear you. We just want you to go away. Is that the idea, Brian?
So were you at the event at the meeting where this Eric person supposedly said that?
I was not there.
Were you, Max?
I was at the meeting and I did not hear him say that. Eric is not a core member of CAFA. Anybody can make any comment they wish. He is a member. We have some agreements, and there's some overlap in interest. He has other interests, and he has other directions that he chooses to go in.
Right.
But he is not a spokesperson for CAFA.
Okay. All right. Now, listen. Go ahead, Brian, real quickly here. I'm going to ask Dave to dig out the editorial from Michael Olson. It's time to play that, and I want to get the reaction of the gentleman here, okay?
Even if you disavow the words that were spoken at that meeting, your own intentions speak loudly. It's actions speak louder than words. You're attempting to bleed us dry with frivolous lawsuits so we have no funds to put on the events that the community loves. Everyone knows that lawsuits are very expensive. From my understanding, you're asking for us to pay for your attorney. You're asking us to halt a lot of our activities at the fair. You're suing the people that do business with us as well. And to say that you don't want to kill the fair, but you're doing all this, it doesn't make sense. And to say we haven't been negotiating with you is incorrect. Board meetings often last 5 hours. CAFA has been at every single one for the last year. Much of the time for public comment is devoted to issues that CAFA brings up. So to say there's no dialogue between the two parties is incorrect. We've made a lot of concessions over the past few months to comply with what they've been asking for. We want to be a good neighbor and act reasonably, and we've cut down on amplified music at certain events, which costs us, you know, basically $1,000 a week just in alcohol sales alone, because people don't want to attend events where there's no amplified music. They don't want to drink it, and it's something we're willing to do to accommodate CAFA. And
were you gentlemen aware of that, or is it possible that there's just no communication?
No, Michael, I would like to compliment. In fact, I think you know, Max would go along with that. That in relation to the, the activity you're talking about is the farmers market. Is that correct, Brian?
Yeah.
Okay. I'd like to compliment the board, Fair Board, for what they've done with that. It's much improved, and I think Max can back that up. And what we're interested in is basically an overall concept that the Fair Board is going through right now called a master plan, and the community should have some input in that. Again, CAFA does not want to shut down the fairgrounds. Now, you may have heard me earlier voice some frustration about lack of being able to discuss issues with the fair. Canceled meetings. Why did that happen? Why did we transition into hiring a lawyer? And why are we now at the point of a lawsuit? That seems to be the issue. But
yeah,
remember,
it is, right?
remember, we are using that as a tool only
to get their attention.
Okay. And now that
I think
we've
got the attention.
Right. Okay.
And I think Brian will say you always had the attention, but you know what?
I've seen their faces at nearly every board meeting, especially Max's, for the last year. And there's been a back and forth this whole time. We've made extra sure to comply with muffler requirements, the rate at the speedway, cutting down on the number of races. They're alleging that we're contaminating a creek that runs near the property. It's actually a drainage ditch. And so we hired a professional water sampler to come out and test the water multiple times, basically at their expense or at their request, because they're alleging it's dirty.
But at
we're
fair,
hired a
but
noise
at fair cons- expense.
We're obviously. Crafting a noise.
At fair expense, yes?
At fair expense.
Yeah, okay.
Well, at the expense of the community. Fair. Every dime that we pay, every minute of staff time that's devoted to complying with their lawsuit is a minute and a dime less that goes towards putting on the events the community loves. It's death by a thousand little cuts. That's what they're attempting to do here.
Okay. So let's see. Dave, we're ready to do Michael's editorial that's been running for the last few days. Okay, this will take a couple minutes. Then I don't know if you've heard it already. Maybe you guys have listened, but
no.
Time to be part of this program. It's very appropriate, and then I want your comments afterwards. Go ahead, Dave.
The following is a KSCO editorial with KSCO General Manager Michael Olson.
If the following scenario seems crazy beyond belief, look at what is now happening to the Santa Cruz County Fairgrounds. Imagine waking up one day to find that your cranky neighbor wants to chase you and your family out of your home and off your property. Shaking off sleep, you yawn and tell the spouse, "Can't happen. Our family has lived on this property for over 125 years. We own it, lock, stock, and barrel. That cranky SOB can't touch us." But that cranky neighbor proves to be very determined, and so hires a big-shot environmental attorney who begins building a case against you for violating the California Environmental Quality Act, which is known far and wide as CEQA. "Now that's funny," you say to the spouse. "Why, we're the cleanest folk in the neighborhood. They can't touch us with CEQA." But unknown to you, your dog deposited a pile of poop on your cranky neighbor's lawn, and investigators for the big-shot environmental attorney found the poop and collected it as evidence of your violation of CEQA. Now the big-shot environmental attorney is building a CEQA lawsuit against you. He has sent your dogs due to the FBI headquarters in Quantico, Virginia, for a DNA analysis, and is talking for hours on the phone with noted authorities, has hired expert witnesses, and is taking depositions against you in London, Rome, and Buenos Aires. When the big-shot environmental attorney brings his CEQA lawsuit to court, he will have 10,000 billable hours invested in proving your neglect. And at $350 per hour, his bill will be $3,500,000, which you will have to pay because you violated CEQA. To pay the big-shot environmental lawyer's bill, you will have to sell your home and your property to a developer. In the end, the cranky neighbor will have your property, the environmental attorney will have your money, and you will have nothing. Yes, we know it sounds crazy, but as we speak, a few cranky neighbors of the Santa Cruz County Fairgrounds have hired some big-shot environmental attorneys and have filed notice of their intent to sue the fairgrounds for, among other things, not picking up the horse poop in time. are the residents of Santa Cruz County in a clear and present danger of losing their county fairgrounds to a few cranky neighbors and their big shot attorneys? For KSCO, I am Michael Olson.
I cannot wait to hear the reaction of Max and Alan to that editorial. Can't wait to hear.
Well, it's an entertaining story. Unfortunately, I don't think there's much truth involved with it. I would correct one misconception. I'm not a real estate developer. I have no interest in that particular occupation. I never have, never will. I'm basically, right now, I'm a retired carpenter. As far as hiring a big shot lawyer to use frivolous means to attain some end is a little silly. We did hire a highly respected law firm, and Jonathan Witt was our attorney, and is well known for going to bat for people and attempt to negotiate reasonable solutions to problems that have been brought up. So I think Mr. Olson's editorial is a little bit off base. I can understand how, you know, people can get upset about to an extreme, but I have to fall back on the fact that we are not trying to shut down the fairgrounds. That is a fact. We have continually provided solutions and suggestions, information to help mitigate the problems that we brought up, and we will continue to do so.
One of the suggestions that's been floated around, it's almost laughable, the last meeting, is having electric car races instead of motorized gasoline-powered cars because it's quieter. They've come to us with their idea of a noise ordinance, which...
They who? CAFA?
Yeah, CAFA.
CAFA, okay.
And it basically says there's going to be no noise-producing events at the fair. Everything that happens at the fair is going to make some sort of noise or otherwise impact the neighborhood. And the underlying, you know, point of this is that we were there first. It was always making noise. It was always known to make noise.
Is this new to you, gentlemen, about the suggestion that the races be changed to electric car races?
That's new to me. Max, how about you?
There was a gentleman that stood up and suggested that the racetrack include electric cars in races, but not change
also,
everything to electric.
Would that gentleman be like the Eric person who wasn't really officially part of?
No, no. Actually, he was a race enthusiast.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I get scrambled now, a lot. Okay. I'm dying to know your reaction to Michael's.
It was amusing. A lot of misinformation in there, and I, you know, that's
why I wanted to play it. I want you guys to correct it.
Really appreciate, Michael, you guys having the three of us here today to go through some of this, and it's we're oriented towards problem solving. All right, and I know that we're going to call it two sides, maybe far apart on some issues, close together on others, and that's probably what we want to look forward to solving this in mediation somewhere down the line, okay? And so there's nothing that we have as an axe to grind except here's some neighbors. Regardless of how long they've been here, do they have human rights? Okay, who was here first is immaterial. Okay, things change. For example, okay, Michael, you've been around long enough. Brian, I'm not sure that you have, but in 1957, when the races began, we had long-haul diesel trucks who made a lot of smoke and a lot of noise. You may remember this, Michael. And I know Max does, and I do too. And if you look at a 500-horsepower long-haul 10-wheeler truck, you can hardly hear the engine these days at all. because of the increased technology involved. Now, is it possible that the fairgrounds and Ocean Speedway could get together and find some other technologies if they want to use internal combustion engines technologies to reduce the noise? Okay, that so we have a neighbor who we know of who has spent thousands of dollars. This is not Max. This is somebody else. Thousands of dollars to do insulation to his house. That's both windows and et cetera, to help mitigate the issues in his inside his house. And to no avail, it doesn't do any good. So I think if the fair board will recognize the neighbor's issues a little bit, and we recognize some of their issues, there's a solution in this. And we do not want to shut this fairgrounds down because it's a valued community asset.
From my understanding, the complaint seeks an injunction against the fairgrounds to halt nearly all of our revenue-generating activities at the fairground. I don't see one word in there about mediation or compromise, and every reasonable person knows that it's easier to get what you want, to be a good neighbor, and to deal frankly if you're not filing a lawsuit. We have been for months with CAFA. And the underlying aspect of this, Michael, is that you have people that have moved in next to the fairgrounds to establish their own Shangri-La. They're too cheap to pay for a truly rural setting that they desired with ultimate peace and quiet. They moved next to a speedway, and now they want to change it. It's no different than what's happening in the airports and agriculture across California right now. It typifies much of what's wrong with California.
Okay. You're listening to the KSCO Saturday Special. We're talking about the controversy about the Santa Cruz Day Fair and the neighbors who are quite upset that the noise factor at the in and around the fairgrounds seems to be increasing. And according to the group, CAFA, Community Alliance for Fairground Accountability, the fair board has not been, at least in their opinion, sufficiently attentive to their concerns. And so they've had to take it to the next level, which is that of filing a lawsuit that against the fair, that the fair people say could end up bankrupting the fair and making the fair go away, and which would be a great loss to the community. I think everybody agrees to that, even the people who have filed the lawsuit, right? I mean,
well, I would like to make one thing clear. We did not want to file a lawsuit, but we feel that we were forced to do it. There was an event that was scheduled that we made very clear. It turns out to be a rodeo, but we're not against rodeos per se. That particular event has not been at the fairgrounds for decades, and it was considered a new event and an intensification of the use of the equestrian area. And we thought that there should be, you know, some transparency and open meetings and public notice regarding the installation of that new event. And we felt that perhaps an environmental review would be desirable in the sense of noise, light. Rodeos are pretty, can be pretty loud and pretty raucous.
The method of doing business that Max Kelly suggested.
We were not against the rodeo per se.
You'll have time.
And we were not against the rodeo per se, like I said. And, we requested that there be an environmental review. And what the response we got from the board of directors was to declare that event categorically exempt from our concerns. And I just showed you a number of pictures that showed water pollution coming from there. That's just one element. All we were asking is that there be some consideration to the neighborhood when it adds or intensify events or even intensify use of particular facilities. Bring it to the community. Bring it to the people so that we can all have some input. We can discuss it. If there are problems that are considered, let's talk it out. Let's figure it out. Let's solve this. But they declared categorical exemption, which started a clock ticking that gave us 35 days to challenge it or go away. And if we accepted that particular event, that trigger event, we're basically acquiescing to the attempt to piecemeal this master plan that we've been trying to promote, and which would give an overall plan to events and intensification within controls that would be acceptable environment in the neighborhoods.
Okay. Now, Brian, you wanted to talk?
What CAFA is asking for on the environmental front is a method of doing business that would quickly bankrupt FAIR, close our doors, and put us on the chopping block. To comply with what they're asking for requires $1,000 in hiring consultants, lawyers, and it's a method of doing business that delays putting on events that would shut the FAIR down. And they kept complaining about this rodeo, which, from my understanding, is about a third of the size of some of the events that are out there. There's no indication that there's going to be any more animals than have typically been at the fairgrounds, or that a huge number of people is going to be out there compared to any other event that happens. And we hired an expert to say, are we exempt from this? It costs us thousands of dollars, and at their request, we did it. And she said, yeah, you're exempt. We had a rodeo out there within the last year. It's not true that we've been at a rodeo out there in decades. It's simply not true. And again, this is no different than activities that have always happened at the fairgrounds. And one more thing, this is a method of trying to put us out of business. They're suing the rodeo. They're suing the people that do business with us. They're sending the signal to the community that if you want to do business with the fair, if you want to hold an event, if you want to hold a quinceanera or dance or a race at the fairgrounds, we're going to sue you. You're going to have to hire an attorney. This is just what happened.
Is that true?
Okay. Responding to Brian. That is not true at all. Okay.
Because if that is true, you guys are evil.
That's what it sounds like. Really? I think that's really the message that...
I'm serious. I'm dead serious.
That is the message that the Fair Board possibly is trying to get across, and maybe the Speedway. Okay. But what I have concerns about Brian's comments was, is that the reason that you ignored the community and canceled three community meetings at the fair to get input, because you didn't want to hear these things that the community had issues with? Is that the reason it was canceled? I don't know. So I've mentioned this earlier, is that CAFA was backed into a corner.
Maybe the whole thing can be chalked up to just
lack of communication.
Well, not lack of communication, but lack of respect.
I think that might be
so.
It, Michael.
So if you guys hadn't felt that you were disrespected with an essential, it's my way or the highway, guys. We've spent money on a consultant who says we are exempt.
Yeah.
I want an honest answer from you guys, because you're the guys who you know, brought this thing. If you would have been given if that meeting hadn't been canceled, because it's three meetings. Okay, if those three meetings hadn't been canceled, or you would have and you would have been acknowledged as being neighbors, good and good neighbors should be good neighbors to each other.
Right.
It works both ways. If that hadn't happened, and you would have had this discussion, but you still wouldn't have come to an agreement. And it seems to me that what you guys wanted was in this particular case, was no new, you know, higher impact use of the fairgrounds, like a rodeo that hadn't been there for a while. And you say it had been for a year, only a year or something.
Well, the key word, Michael, that you use is no. We have, I'm using it again, no idea or concept of reducing any of the activities, all right? We just want input on their impact to the community. So that
Brian,
is
does that sound unreasonable to you? If assuming that they're just being totally honest, you know, with you and with the community now, do you have a problem with that?
We've been discussing this particular rodeo for over 1 year. It's been put off. We've delayed it over last July to have it next year just to comply with their demands. The idea that they want three more neighborhood meetings after over a year of discussing and planning one little event, it's not right. And I was never invited to the meetings. They should have looked me up in the phone book. They could have invited me. They know my email. I never got a letter telling me to come. And again, we have meetings.
Well, who canceled the meeting?
Go ahead, Matt.
Let me jump in here real quickly. Number one, the meetings were called by Michael Bethke, the fairgrounds manager. He would normally be responsible for notifying you of joining the meeting. And my understanding is that the board of directors were invited to meetings. At the first one, I believe there were two board of directors, directors from the board there. You were not. I think the next meeting, there were none. And then the following three meetings were canceled at the last minute after we attempted to try to notify neighbors and interested parties, you know, to get the word, try to get the word out. And it was left up to us to get the word out, even though the meeting was called by Mike Bethke. And we appreciate that fact that he had called those meetings to get neighborhood input.
It seems to me that the big problem here was a cancellation of those meetings. Who's to know whether if the meetings hadn't been canceled, you wouldn't be in exactly the same pickle you're in right now?
The idea that there's a lack of meetings is not correct. Some meetings will last 6 hours. They usually last between 4.5 and 5 hours. So to say that there's not enough meeting time or there's not enough community input, it's never going to be enough. They want to kill the fair. That's their agenda. They want to.
They say they don't want to kill the fair. You say they do. When lawyers are hired using CEQA and bringing in things that you guys didn't even complain about. I mean, my understanding is what was bothering the neighbors was the noise and not the poop.
Oh, okay, Mike. that's a big issue.
Uh-huh.
I stood up in front of the board and says, the rodeo is not the issue here, okay? Nobody in CAFA objected to that comment. The board listened, but apparently Brian didn't get the message, okay, that the rodeo is not on the table here, okay? We don't have an issue with it. So bringing it up now it seems to be a red herring in relation to the actual problem that we're trying to address.
Wait a minute. Didn't you guys bring up the rodeo as an increased, you know, in scope of use of the fairgrounds?
That was a trigger. It just happened to be a triggering event where after we had requested some, you know, consideration for all events and considerations for all increased intensification and new events. This particular event then was put on the agenda declared categorically exempt by the fairgrounds.
So it's sort of like poking you in the eye with a stick.
And we're the little guy here. The fairgrounds is a state entity. They have a $2 million budget a year.
Yeah.
My God. And we're the little guy, and
I think you can understand how. But whether you're the little guy or the fair is the little guy, and the fair is claiming that they're the little guy in this case when they're up against guys like Jonathan Whitwer, attorney, and Gary Patton's name has been brought into this, and I smell Gary Patton all over this. I really do. I smell it all over this thing. Because that's – am I right?
Gary Patton came to the meeting representing CAFA and spoke to us, I think, at two meetings.
Yeah.
And one, he clearly said a lawsuit could ruin the fair.
I don't know whether that's what he would want, but I do know I believe that statement. Do you guys believe that statement?
No.
Okay.
All right. Gary Patton.
We got a board full of callers, I'm not feeling guilty because I haven't invited calls yet, but we're going to take the whole hour for calls.
Well, let me just mention that Gary Patton did attend a board meeting to help present
You know, from a legal standpoint, our concerns, you know, I'm not a lawyer. You know, Ellen's not, or Kathy that doesn't have lawyers. And anyway,
if you want to kill the fair, I'm going to add my little.
Gary was only there to in place of Jonathan Whitwer because Jonathan Whitwer had other commitments at the time of the board meeting.
If you guys want to kill the fair, or if someone wants to kill the fair, keep going down the road you're going. That's my editorial comment, because anybody, when the government and when environmental rules and CEQA come into the picture, it could only result in death to the entity or the people that are the focus of the environmental lawsuit.
Okay, Michael, okay. Regarding that...
But you've already said that's not your intent. So.
Well, okay, regarding that, though, okay, you have to realize that CAFA has given a heads up to the board prior to the lawsuit, and Gary Patton was there to inform them that would be the outcome or possible outcome, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So here's some information.
So you were warned, I guess, is what he's saying.
Yeah, that's essentially
they told us they're going to sue us, and then they sued us.
Uh-huh. Well, we have to make it clear that we presented a long letter and a number of items that we were interested in pursuing to negotiate and come to some agreements and work on. We presented quite a number of points through Gary, who presented a number of points that we were trying to do in lieu of litigation. We talked very clearly, and it's a public document. I'd be happy to present it to you.
It would be great if you guys could somehow call off your lawsuit and come to the table, or come to the table first.
That's what we've been trying to do all this time.
Ma, you want to say something? Kay is here. Go ahead.
Yeah, Mark. I just want to say what I'm listening to is a ludicrous issue. Fairgrounds and noise is synonymous. When you go to a fairground, you have to make noise. The kids have to make noise. There's only one solution. If the neighbors can't stand the noise, the neighbors have to move. That's all.
That's all you wanted to say?
Yes.
Okay, that comes from Kay. All right. Be careful. Don't trip on your way out, Mom.
We weren't arguing against noise. We realize there's a noise at the fairgrounds. What we're arguing about is the intensification without mitigation. You know, the increase that can be easily mitigated and continue with additional events and all kinds of stuff.
I don't see a problem with that, Brian. Yeah. For what it's, I'm not the judge here. I'm just putting in my opinion too. I can have an opinion. Just.
Right.
And still be a good neutral host.
Keep the discussion going, Michael. Okay.
Okay. We got a lot more to talk about and on this subject here. And we're talking with our special guests, Max Kelly and Alan Harriman from the Community Alliance for Fairground Accountability, also known as CAFA. And some people call it CAFA. But I don't know what I call it. And Brian Mathias, who is the sole member of the County Fair Board who has appeared today. And I salute that, Brian. I wonder where your other board members are. And maybe some of them are going to call in. Maybe that's who some of the people are waiting to go on the air here in the next few minutes. But in any case, it's a very interesting topic because I think there's legitimate issues on both on both sides here, and I, to use a Rodney King-ism, can't we just get along? I think, I mean, who's going to get hurt just trying to get along? You know. Right. Now Brian has maintained here that's all the fair has been trying to do is get along.
Yeah, we've spent a lot of money trying to do it.
Uh huh. Okay.
We bought new PA systems that are more sensitive to turning the volume up or down. That was a substantial expense. Again, we've been testing the creek water, and we've determined that the water is cleaner leaving the property than when it enters. That's thousands of dollars. We've hired a noise consultant. There's been substantial
I want to ask you guys what you think about that, but it's the end of the hour now. It's KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. Dave's going to bring up Fox News right in just a few minutes here, and we got an hour ahead, so please stay tuned. KSCO Santa Cruz.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen Riegel. Newly minted Defense Secretary Leon Panetta in Afghanistan, an unannounced visit.
He was met at the airport by a number of U.S. military leaders, including General David Petraeus. Speaking on the plane before arriving here, the Defense Secretary was upbeat about prospects of defeating al-Qaeda. He said the U.S. was within reach of, quote, strategically defeating them.
That's Fox's David Piper in Kabul, Afghanistan. In Washington, the White House and top lawmakers are getting ready for a meeting tomorrow to try and figure out how to come up with a budget deal that would, for now, settle the issue of the debt ceiling.
The president will meet again with the top eight leaders of both parties from both the House and Senate.
And the American people sent us here to do the right thing, not for party, but for country.
President Obama says the sooner they come up with a deal to raise the debt ceiling and lower the deficit, the sooner businesses will feel better about hiring and growing.
Fox News Radio's Rich Johnson reporting. After years of civil war, Sudan is now an independent country, I should say South Sudan. The South split via voter referendum. Issues surrounding oil could create more conflict in South Sudan.
Most of the oil is to be found here in the south. But the only way to get it out at the moment is through the north. Now, during the days of the Comprehensive Peace Agreement, they had a 50-50 split. But that agreement ceased when this independence started, so at midnight last night, and they still don't have a new deal. Now, without it, neither country can exist economically.
That's David Bowden with our sister network Sky News. Former First Lady Betty Ford has died. She was 93 years old. Mrs. Ford became an inspiration for many by breaking her struggle as a drug and alcohol addict. She made it public. She founded the Betty Ford Center in California. You're listening to Fox Radio, Fair and Balanced.
Here's another encore presentation from Fox and Friends.
That's Nick Cannon, actor, comedian, and host of that popular TV show, America's Got Talent. Indeed we do.
Nick's wife, Mariah Carey, have you heard of her? Just had twins 2 months ago.
Yes.
And how many times were you up till last night with the babies, Nick?
All night. It's just a consistent night. There's no longer any sleep in my household. We just stay up.
Now, at your house, the way it was at our house was, after a while, it'd be like, I got them last time. Your turn?
We just end up falling asleep in the nursery, so it's just you kind of have to. Whoever gets up to the crib first.
That's great. What is parenthood like?
Parenthood is wonderful. I mean, you guys know it's like a feeling that's really unexplainable, but it's hard, but then at the same time, you love it.
And how's Mariah taking to it? How's motherhood?
She's so natural with it. I mean, everybody is expecting, like, Mariah changes diapers. Like, yeah, they're her children. Of course she does.
Catch Fox and Friends every morning starting at 6. And keep listening for more encore presentations on Fox News Talk.
The tabloid scandal in Britain is exploding.
The scandal centers so far on one newspaper here. It reportedly bribed police and illegally hacked newsmakers' cell phone voicemail to get scoops. Britain's Prime Minister is promising action.
It's right and proper to establish a full public inquiry.
To ask, David Cameron says how that successful tabloid, News of the World, got its scoops and what kind of press regulation might be possible. Currently, newspapers here regulate themselves under a press complaints procedure, but Britain lacks anything like America's First Amendment. And the upcoming inquiry will reassess regulation, competition, and possible changes to privacy laws. The newspaper shutting down, News of the World, is owned by News Corporation, which also owns Fox News. In London, Alistair Wanklin, Fox News Radio.
There's been an attack on a NATO oil supply tanker in Pakistan. Two people are dead. A Pakistani official says gunmen killed the driver and one of his helpers as well. The supplies were for NATO and its allied troops in Afghanistan. They passed through the province where that attack occurred. Turns out Google Brass will testify in front of Congress after all.
Didn't want to, but Google will. Chairman Eric Schmidt will testify before the U.S. Senate, answering questions from an antitrust subcommittee in September about the company's expanding muscle on the Internet. Schmidt agreed to testify after the chairman of the panel, Herb Kohl, and its top Republican, Mike Lee, kept the heat on. When Google offered its chief legal officer in place of Schmidt, Kohl and Lee let it be known that he just might be compelled to testify by subpoena. Bill Vitka, Fox News Radio.
And breaking news in baseball, Derek Jeter homers for his 3,000th hit, making him the first player to reach the mark with the New York Yankees. Jeter hit the milestone with a drive to left field with one out of the third inning today at Yankee Stadium. He has become the 28th major leaguer overall to get 3,000. He singled in the first inning to get close, then got the historic hit against Tampa Bay. Karen Riegel, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everybody. You've got to tune in to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. It's Saturday, July 9th, 2011. I'm Dave Michaels with a quick look at traffic and weather before moving on to hour number two of the Saturday special. We start off your traffic update in Monterey County on the northbound side of Highway 1 near Salinas Road. CHP reporting a traffic hazard just about 15 minutes ago. Details a little slow to come in. It is partially blocking the roadway, most likely a stalled vehicle. Other than that, your roadways looking pretty good for right now. Your KSCO weather forecast for today is for partly sunny conditions by the afternoon with highs around 70 degrees. Tonight's forecast, a chance of drizzle after 11 p.m. along with patchy fog and cloudy conditions. Lows should be around 52 degrees. Your forecast for tomorrow is for sunny conditions by the afternoon with highs around 70 degrees. And your boater's forecast for the Monterey Bay today, west winds 10 to 20 knots, wind waves less than 2 feet, and northwest swells 2 to 4 feet every 9 seconds, along with patchy fog. Outside KSCO Studios, it's 57 degrees. The time is 11:06. Coming up next on KSCO and KSCO.com, hour number two of the Saturday special with your host, Michael Swirling. Remember, the place to log on to for the latest in news, traffic, weather, and to purchase your book by Kay Swirling is KSCO.com. If that's a little too hard for you, you can do it the old school way and just swing by the radio station today. Kay will be here for about another hour or so signing autographed books. You can pick those up here live at the station. You don't have to wait for mail or anything like that. 475-1080 is the number to call in with your traffic tips. KSCO.com is where all the cool people go on the Central Coast. Ain't that right, MZ?
Hey, way to go, Dave. Thank you. Yeah, that is true. Absolutely true. If you don't go to KSCO.com, you're not cool.
That's right.
All right. Hey, I guess it's time to start hour number two, and this is going to be fraught with phone calls here because and I'm not the slightest bit guilty of not taking phone calls because I didn't even invite them. But now I'm inviting them. So hour number two is going to be all about input from the community. So let's start hour number two officially.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back. KSCO has the inside track.
And coming up, we have the world premiere of a brand new K's commentary right here on your favorite radio station. So we'll be doing that.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is Kay Swirling.
This interesting information was sent to me recently by the National Taxpayers Union, of course, with a request for funds, and that may be a topic for another story. It is a report on estimated pension benefits for members of Congress convicted of crimes from 1980 to the present. Participation in the pension system is voluntary for members serving prior to September 30th, 2003, and the pension amounts are not a matter of public record. Let's call the following a dirty secret. there are at least 535 people who do not want you to hear this. Most of them are millionaires. They earn $174,000 per year and work only 104 days a year. They get automatic pay raises every year unless they turn them down, even if they are not doing a good job. In fact, many have done a terrible job. No problem. They get the money unless they vote not to take it. There's more. They have a full-time staff at their disposal, generous office expense accounts, top-notch health and life insurance, free parking, and travel to destinations all over the globe, junkets, all subsidized. Here's the best part. Their pension benefits are 2 to 3 times more than those in the private sector for similarly salaried executives. Some can receive as much as $125,000 pension a year. They can retire as millionaires. Here's the kicker. Some can even collect their lavish congressional pension while serving time in jail for crimes committed while on the job, all at the expense of hardworking taxpayers. Many in Congress with integrity believe that their colleagues who are caught in perjury, bribery, and fraud and are sent to jail should not continue to receive their pension benefits while in jail. As now, that is the case. The forthcoming bill called the Congressional Integrity and Pension Forfeiture Bill, if voted on and passed, will eliminate that wasteful expenditure. I agree that felons in jail should not receive pensions or rewards. However, it is possible that most Congress people, thinking it over, may be too ashamed of their felon colleagues and therefore decide better to never allow this bill to be exposed to the American public. Because it is too difficult to remain honest. How sad that those we people place in office to guide and protect us are so often corrupt and disappointing. For KSCO, this is Kay Swirling.
The long-requested book of Kay's commentaries is now available for purchase online at our KSCO.com website, right on the homepage, for $24.95 plus shipping and handling, if applicable. Treat yourself to this wonderful book full of Kay's wisdom, thoughts, and humor. It makes a great gift, and all proceeds support KSCO, your favorite radio station. Go to KSCO.com and buy Kay's book today.
And then come on down with your receipt and get Kay to inscribe it to you for free. You know, that should be, that's what you're really paying for, is for the, is for the personal inscription of Kay. The book is free, you know. But, well, never. I'm just going to get myself into more and more trouble here. Welcome back. Hour number two of the KSCO Saturday Special. Welcome to hour number two of the Saturday Special. We have guests Brian Mathias, member of the County Fair Board, and Max Kelly and Alan Harriman, members of CAFA, which stands for Community Alliance for Fairground Accountability. There's a concern here that there's a hidden agenda here to push the fair out of existence and by using lawsuits involving environmental issues and so forth. It's a real interesting program we have today. The rest of the program is going to be devoted to telephone calls, input from you, the callers. First call is going to be from Rose Marie in Capitola. Rose Marie, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm just calling to sort of put in my input regarding this.
Good.
This conflict that's going on. I received a letter in the mail. I do not live anywhere near the fairgrounds. We reside in SoCal. I did receive it at my office in Capitola. So the letter that is going out is quite widespread and talks about noise. It has a lady with her fingers in her ears complaining about this terrible noise that's driving them crazy. The idea that the one gentleman said that they were not talking about noise does not seem to fit that. My point about this is that where a fairgrounds is located, just as Kay said, it is logical that there's going to be noise. And the the programs that they try to bring to the fairgrounds are to keep their viability and keep them in order. By requesting that you have a master plan and an EIR and a CEQA situation costs millions of dollars for something that's been in existence since the late 1800s. Why we have to constantly pound on logic and say, we need to have a master plan, and we need to argue with this with all kinds of people, and we need to stand up and figure out how to do this. Well, that costs a lot of money to go in a big circle and find that that's the way it's been, unless there is some other kind of agenda. Now, I know they're saying they don't want to close the fairgrounds. That's not the point, because if they were to say that, they know that the people would come out fully armed and say, oh, no, 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 you're not going to do this. Perhaps the idea of the gentleman who years ago moved the house onto that site next to the fairground was because it was an old Henry Weeks thing, and that it might have been an old farmhouse. And as you all know, we do have a right to farm, and I think there's a close correlation between the fairgrounds and the right to farm. The fairgrounds has a right to be there. If someone places property that's nearby that has a different kind of zoning, which, by the way, we created far after 1885 or whenever the fairground started, we need to take into consideration things that are logic. Why are we burning our tax dollars to argue over something that is there for the community? Certainly, if I were to move to right next door to Great America, I wouldn't be able to scream and holler about that. If I were to move next to the airport, I can't say, well, the airplanes have to create new kinds of engines, and let's have a CEQA law about that. I think
it's too bad we can't have a participation from an attorney, on this program. We invited Jonathan Whitwer and Gary Patton, and I didn't hear back from either of them. Instead, I got a phone call from Max, so I guess they must have passed on my voicemail message to you, and you told me that neither one of them would appear, or Jonathan wouldn't appear unless you paid him, or CAFA paid them, or the radio station paid them, or something, their hourly rate. So I guess that's why he's not here.
Well, I'm not quite clear on why we need to talk to an attorney at the radio station. I don't think.
Well, it would be very interesting to talk about laws and so forth. But, well, yeah, you're right.
I understand what you're saying, but to say you don't know why you need an attorney to talk about that is precisely what is going on.
Why did you hire one?
Doesn't make sense either.
I said we didn't need an attorney at the radio station. I think we can, answer questions, just fine on our own.
Which is good. That reminds me about a very angry phone call I received from someone who will remain nameless, very upset. There's a lot of people whose blood pressure has been raised by this issue listening today, and who feel that Brian has made a mistake by coming down here. Everything that he says can and will be held against him because the way of our legal system works, and that he may himself be sealing the casket of the Santa Cruz County. I totally disagree with that. I think it's great that all of you are here willing to discuss this and discuss it with the community in a live forum. And, my hat's off to all of you in this room, particularly Brian, because my understanding is that everybody else at the fair was chicken bleep and for that same reason. And I think they ought to be ashamed of themselves, every one of them. If they have very strong feelings, they should be more than willing to come down to the radio station or get on the telephone and express those feelings and not be scared because it's going to be held against them in a lawsuit. You're pure class, my friend. And Michael, so are you guys, too.
I'd like to comment briefly regarding the master plan and cost. I need to point out that the master plan was originally proposed by the fairgrounds and most notably Mike Bethke, the fairgrounds manager. More than a year ago, and there was about $100,000 that was allotted to that master plan. And as CAFA members, we encourage that plan because it does provide a process for taking care of all of the events at the fairgrounds, and mitigating any problems as they come along as a package, as a whole. I also want to point out that the in spite of the vilification of me being interested in real estate and having ulterior motives, the fairgrounds actually hired our RCH group, and don't take it from me. Look it up on in Google. But you can the RCH group is a real estate advisory firm. They are a division of Zibler Limited, an asset management and nationally recognized real estate development company. This is the company that the fairgrounds hired. You know, we had no part of it.
I don't think the fairgrounds is interested in selling off its land to development.
What happened is we did have, you know, there was some talk of a master plan, and then we heard some major saber rattling about a lawsuit and it meant about CEQA, and from my understanding that money's not there or it's going to be allocated to a legal defense.
By the way, does the fair have its own counsel?
Yeah,
to answer this lawsuit?
We pay for it. And
okay, well, maybe this is a great opportunity to put out the word for an attorney who might want to represent you, your interests, on a pro bono basis, just as a service to the community.
Yeah,
you want to put out that word right now? You got thousands of people listening, so you might as well do it.
If a land use attorney, a California land use attorney, wants to help us out on a pro bono basis and work as co-counsel with one or more other attorneys, that would be great. It'd be really welcome. And honestly, the best thing you can do, most people can do to help us, is to come out and enjoy the fairgrounds. Come to our fair this September 13th. You know, join our Heritage Foundation, contribute to our Heritage Foundation. Every dime that goes into the fairgrounds, that you pay to the fairgrounds, goes back into the grounds. We don't...
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
We don't receive any tax dollars. It's a self-funded operation driven by volunteers. It's a lean and mean operation. Our managers turn down a pay raise, for example, and we can't afford to fight off bogus lawsuits.
Okay.
Well, you've got to remember, too, that the fairgrounds is represented by the Attorney General's Office, you know, the state of California. So, our taxes are at work, and we're trying to work with the fairgrounds, and we provided all this pre-litigation information and attempts to arrive at conclusions and solutions and follow the master plan.
The person who called me, whose blood pressure was raised, said that they know for a fact that nothing the fair does is going to satisfy your group. That's what they said. Now, I don't know if this is true. They just said, you know, you've got one agenda, according to this person. You don't really want to talk. You really want to close the fair, because then all the noise will go away once and for all. Now, I don't believe that. You don't come across that way to me, but do you think I'm sort of stupid here, Brian, for not believing that?
Even if I ignore the words that were spoken by members of CAFA, by CAFA's attorney, about threatening to shut the fair down, the idea that you can just come at somebody with a lawsuit, that implies in itself a huge financial consequence to the entity. Everyone knows we're a self-funded organization.
Well, what Max just said, is that... Because it's the fair, isn't there some representation from the Attorney General's office? Or
yes, they are a lawyer. We pay for it out of our own funds that are self-generated from the fairgrounds. We do not receive a tax allocation. We do not have the power to tax money that is raised by events like the fair, by the Speedway, interim dances, and things like the rodeo. Give us the capital needed to put on more events. We do not receive tax dollars. We do not receive free legal counsel. We pay for it. We pay a lot for it.
All right. Let's go to our next call. I want to thank Rosemary and Capitola. Appreciate it. Here's our next caller, Rory in Watsonville. Rory, welcome to KSCO. You're on the air.
Thank you. As a neighbor of the fairgrounds, I enjoy the races. I like hearing them. I know it's spring, summer's near when we hear the sprint cars and the V8s fire up. It's great. I like that kind of noise. It's not around the clock. The other thing is, I live by Highway 129, Coward Road. Okay, there's a lot of trucks going up and down that road, and they make a lot of noise. So I'd suggest the CAFA get some damn earplugs. Okay, when the races are going, put the earplugs in.
Okay.
Okay, that's one neighbor to another. The other thing is the use at that fairground has been established for a long time, and I know I'm reiterating what Kay said. You guys knew full well those that moved in recently in the last 10 years, 20 years, or the guy that lives up on the hill in a mansion that doesn't like the noise drifting up the mountain. You guys knew that that fairground was there. You knew there were races there. If you don't like it, leave. You sound like a bunch of spoiled, well-to-do, well-heeled brats that if you can't get it your way, and you're going to go after piecemeal lawsuits, and when you bring a guy like Gary Patton in, you telegraph your intentions quite well. And I hope that the community that likes the fairgrounds, likes the speedway, will pony up the money to fight these son of a guns and send them packing. Thank you.
I don't think anybody needs to pony up much money. I think you're going to get offers from a bunch of attorneys here who are willing to come. Yeah. It'd be a really smart thing for them to do.
One other question, Brian. Where can I get the support the Ocean Motor Speedway signs that I've been seeing around with the piston head?
You should talk to the operator of the Ocean Speedway. His name's John Prentice. You can go to SantaCruzCountyFair.com, click on Ocean Speedway icon at the bottom of the page, and that should direct you some way to contact the owner or manager of the speedway.
Nice. And okay. This program serves the general public at large. We don't have, many of us don't have a lot of money to hire attorneys to tie people up in CEQA lawsuits. Okay, I know how these people work. They say one thing, even if these two gentlemen that are in the studio today don't have intention, it's the law of unintended consequences. And there's plenty of people that just the fact that one person would say, let's have electric car races. What are you going to do, go to Tesla and tell them to pony up the $150,000 per car to get the electric car race? It's going great.
Sounds like Alan wants to say something.
So Rory, this is Alan here. Your solution to all of this is landowners should get earplugs? Is that it?
Damn right. Yeah, get earplugs. I get them. I go to sleep with earplugs. You know why? Because semis go out routinely in the middle of the night full of produce or strawberries heading east on 129. And if I don't use the earplugs, they wake me up. Okay? So get earplugs and then put some mufflers over the earplug, and you won't hear anything. And then when the races stop, you can take the earplugs out.
So while all of this earplug and mufflers are going on, we just forget about our lifestyle and
that's right.
Move on.
Or move.
You just want to throw us under the bus, right?
No, you move.
I see. We're going to move after we've been here for many times, maybe decades. You want us to move, right?
Yeah,
that's interesting. Rory, thank you very much for your suggestion.
Yeah, you know what? My family's been in California since the 1870s, and we've moved around a little bit. We all kind of got along, business, agriculture. We have our squabbles, and we work things out, but we don't go tooth and tong after a local entity that's providing fun and enjoyment for the local community at an affordable cost and go sicking people like Gary Patton in CEQA lawsuits. You guys know damn well what you're doing.
Well, I think
I don't trust you.
Rory, I think you need some more information. And if you go on our website, okay, you go on our website and please leave some contact information. We'd be glad to talk to you about this.
What is the website?
Max, it's fairgroundsaccountability.org.
Okay. That's easy.
And then, Brian, when's the next board meeting?
It's the last Tuesday of July. And
is it the last Tuesday of each month?
It's the last Tuesday of each month, except September and December.
Okay.
I think
a lot of us that are in support of the fairgrounds and the speedway need to come to your next several board meetings and express ourselves.
I want to point out again, though, that Gary Patton is not our lawyer.
Well, you should have picked somebody else.
Gary Patton is not our lawyer.
Somehow his name got connected, and I think it's because he was there he was there in lieu of Jonathan Whitworth.
That's right.
That choice. You know, perception is everything.
Boy.
Perception is everything, gentlemen. I work in agriculture. Believe me, I live that.
Okay, Rory, thanks for the call. We've got to move on. Bruce and Aptos, welcome to KSCO, the Saturday special. You're on the air.
Thank you. Boy, my head wants to explode. Every time Max and Alan refer to themselves as community, it's a very small number of people who live next to a fairgrounds. And when they moved there, they were not given it didn't say on their deed that they had veto power over what the Fed did and didn't do to state business. And two, the idea, they keep using the word input. What they want is control. If you listen to their arguments, what they're saying is every time they don't get their way, if they're not going to get their way, they're going to sue. So what they really want is more or less to run the fairgrounds and ultimately to shut it down to keep to raise the value of the property. And that's probably what it boils down to. They know living next to the fairground, their property might be less desirable than someplace else.
Hey, Bruce, I don't know about my property values, but I wasn't even looking at them. I'm interested in living where I'm at. My family's been there 120 years. We haven't moved in. We've noticed over the last 30 years that the activities at the fairgrounds have been more intrusive into our lifestyle, et cetera. And all we're interested in is open dialogue with the fair board and some meaningful mitigation that will solve some of the issues.
And if you don't get your way, you're going to sue them out of business.
I see. So if we don't get our way, we just have to live with it? Is that it? I mean, are you interested in a community that is listened to? Okay.
Wait.
I'm not part of the community?
You refer to your group as the community.
We aren't part of the community?
You're a small group of impacted landowners.
Excuse me. Are we not part of the community?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
The larger community, but the group that is suing their fair board, you keep calling yourself the community. The fair represents thousands of families that belong to 4-H, that use the motor speedway, that belongs to that's the community. You're a small group of impacted landowners.
Excuse me, Bruce, I don't mean to interrupt you, but we have one of our contact people that lives up in Aptos region who really has an issue with the noise, okay? And they live out there, and they have to turn up the music in their house, okay, just to drown out what's going on at the fair.
They need to move to the damn desert.
Okay, now they live
move to the desert. If they move in Aptos and they're concerned about noise, they need to move to the desert.
So, Bruce, you want to kick everybody out to the desert that doesn't agree with various things that can be solved, right? Is that your idea?
When you say that you want control of the master plan, that's not not input. When you say
control,
that you want your group of people,
those are your words, Bruce. We don't want control. We want a solution.
Bruce, thanks for your call. Next caller will be Nick in Royal Oaks. Nick, apparently you agree with CAFA. Is that right?
Well, actually, I want both sides to get an award. I mean, but being very well presented, the complaints have been addressed very well in this presentation, and the complaints were very much legitimate. I mean, having the events for alcohol sales, I mean, another way for money. And then the races itself. I mean, absorbing the impact is kind of the word, because a lot of the raceways have been closing down, and Watsonville is just getting taken the brunt of it.
Here real quick, because we got so many other callers.
The noise was crazy. Michael, your presentation about the exaggeration, that gets the whoopee cushion. But you got the best show. I mean, I was listening to him on the 4th of July. Shows I haven't heard, the greatest.
I don't know what you're talking about. But
well, yeah, I mean, you guys saying the guy moved his house just to complain. I mean, that didn't happen. I mean,
did I say that?
Well, it was in the editorial thing. A lot of exaggeration.
Oh, yeah, Michael Olson's editorial. Okay.
Wars on getting people hype on exaggerations. You had me going. I mean, both sides have presented. I didn't know the fair had addressed the things muffled, but the races are so pleasant. I mean, there's one noisy thing. A decade ago, it was noisy. It was crazy. I mean, I live by a farm where it's tractors every day. And then Friday evening, I'm sitting, all of a sudden, boom, 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 no races. I mean, I'm 10 miles away.
Okay, well, Nick, it says here on the board that you agree with CAFA.
The only complaint is that we don't have a state run by, it's a state-owned bank, and they should test the water. I mean, surf riders are testing the beaches down
Nick, I don't know what you're saying. Can you just sort of encapsulate it to 10 seconds? Because we got to take a bunch of other callers, please.
It's all about money.
Okay.
So far,
all about
money.
Things
have been addressed and complete.
That's good. That puts it. Thank you very much. Here's Marcia in Watsonville. You're on the Saturday special.
Hello. I had to turn the radio down.
Okay, good.
I am from Watsonville, and for 100 years, not quite, we had 4-H clubs in the fairgrounds. It was the farmers and independent farmers and came together, and they supported it. And I agree with you.
With me?
That Gary Patton is the head honcho of all his subjects that he's pushing around, because years ago, Gary Patton, it was said, I'm not saying it, it was said that he was one of the biggest proponents of socialism. They want property. They want control.
Yeah.
And they do not want the people in Watsonville and the smaller people, you might say, to be there. They want to push it out, and they want their way.
Gary is credited, and I'm sure if he was here, he would proudly accept the credit for preventing Highway 17 from being widened many years ago when there was money to widen it. Okay,
really?
Because it would have induced growth. You know, the growth came anyhow, and there's no infrastructure. You know,
right.
But anyhow, let's not get into socialism or anything. Thanks very much for your call. We've got so many other people.
He's the culprit, and they're saying he's not. Oh, what a farce! Just a big farce.
Gary Patton is not our attorney.
I won't even discuss it with you and take my time, because I've been in county for 100 years almost, and he's way back when he came here and tried to do this.
Okay. All righty, thank you.
You're still doing it silently, and you say, oh, he's not.
Thank you, Marcia. Appreciate your call. Laura on a cell phone. You're on the air on KSCO.
Hello. I grew up in Watsonville, and the fair was a very big part of my childhood. It was very important to me, the rodeos and all of that. And I just think it would be a terrible shame and a loss to many of the families in Watsonville and the whole county, and particularly for the children and the low-income families to not have the use I'm talking.
I'm talking. I'm the boss here. It's my radio show. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. You want to answer the question, or do I hang up on you? Okay. Callers do not take control of my radio show. Understand? That's the way it is. Renee in SoCal, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hi, Renee. You're on the air.
Hi, Mr. Zwirling.
Hi.
I'm George Waldron's daughter.
Oh, hi. How are you? Sure.
Fine. I'm doing fine. I just want to let people know that it's just more than the gentleman speaking. It's being backed by bigger things than the gentleman speaking, and they've been probably promised a lot of goody things for their little goody bag. And just the mere fact that Gary Patton is a big thorn in my side. And
okay.
I appreciate you taking on this subject on the radio today. I'm in for a good fight against helping you guys keep the fair going, because my dad took me to the first races when I was a year and a half years old in 1957.
Okay, great. I appreciate the call, Renee, and we have quite a number of other people. But I want to ask the gentleman here. I believe that you don't want to close down the fairgrounds or have it closed down, because I think, gosh, you probably go there yourself.
I love fairs personally. Yeah. I grew up with my grandpa going with my grandpa and my uncle to fairs. I love fairs.
I don't know what all the other people are going to say. We've got to do commercials and we got to do. But it seems the pattern that we have here is the people are. It's a very emotional topic. And everybody who's calling is talking about how they have such fond memories of the fair, and it would be horrible if it went away. So there seems to be a general belief that what you guys are doing, whether you intend to close the fair or not, whether that's your agenda or not, and again, I don't believe that, but there seems to be a general consensus that what you are doing is ultimately going to result in the closure of the fair.
Michael, could I mention something to the caller? The problem, Renee, right, is that Gary Patton is not part of this. Gary Patton was an activist supervisor many decades ago, okay? And we understand politically he was on the edge, okay? We at CAFA do not share his political views or his agenda, all right? He simply was there for two meetings to represent his law firm. We are not part of Gary Patton's agenda, if he has one. And we know what, if you've been around for a while, which I think you have, you are aware of what those issues were. But that's not what's happening with CAFA now.
Okay. Next caller will be Scott in Live Oak. Scott, you're on KSCO. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, hey, guys. First off, great show. I tried to get in on it last week, but I was busy driving, and I don't like to do these conversations while I'm driving. So the bottom line is that fairground didn't just spring up automatically overnight. And I know for a fact from looking at the San Joaquin Valley next to Raisin City, where all the fuelers go, that it's noisy one, maybe two nights a week. And if you buy a house near that, that's part of the consequences of getting it on the down low pricing. You know, a house there that would sell anywhere else in the county is at $500,000. You probably have to pay close to three for it there because of the noise potential. And I think the fairgrounds are much greater asset to the community than a few people who have moved into an area and complain about the noise. Now, for those of you guys who have lived there for a very, very, very long time, it's like, what's changed?
A lot of things have changed. And that's actually what started the ball rolling a little more than a year ago, was the addition of events without consulting or without considering the community. You got to realize that there are over 20,000 people that live within 3 miles of the fairgrounds. Now, more than a year ago, they put in a farmer's market. Well, you know, we recommended that they put in a farmer's market years ago, and we thought that was a great idea. But associated with that was amplified music. In the form of, among other things, karaoke that was used. The farmers market brought in these stadium-sized speakers that broadcast this music across the countryside all Sunday afternoon. This was a brand new event, and we thought, wait a minute. You know,
some of those speakers can't carry some of those singers can't carry a tune. That's got to be grating. You know?
That event,
didn't want to go there, but
we unplugged the amplified music, and they still sued us.
Hey,
and he says,
hey Scott, you're breathing too much.
Hey,
you're breathing into the phone. What else do you have to say?
My thing is that. That kind of an incident is bad neighborhood policies for the fairgrounds. But that's also, too, just one event. Now, personally, I think that's garbage, but I also, too, know about marketing and the hype, and you want everybody to hear that there's something fun going on and stuff. But it's like I don't know, guys. My concern is it's like, pretty much anything else. Once you weasel in a little bit to change something, somebody else in the group who has greater plans gets steps in front, and then they weasel in and get a little bit more done. And the next thing you know, guys, unintentionally, I'm assuming from the conversations I've heard, the fairground will get shut down. Because once you start compromising on those kinds of issues and you start making concessions, you always have to make concessions because of the poor neighbors who are being impacted by something that's been there for God, I don't know how long.
Scott, you made a great point. Thanks very much for calling. Okay, that was Scott in Live Oak. Dave, let's go ahead and do those commercial breaks, and then we'll come back and take calls from Joe in Live Oak, Gene in Scotts Valley, Margaret in Satan Cruz. It says Margaret in Satan Cruz. Richard N. Watsonville and Don and Salinas. Not necessarily in that order, but we got to play the ads.
Hi, I'm Andy, the produce manager at Ben Lomond Market. This week we are featuring California large yellow peach, $1.19 a pound. These beauties are full of summertime flavor. From Washington we have large Bing cherries, $2.99 a pound, full of flavor and ready to eat. California plums and pluots are in full swing, loaded with juice, full of flavor, $1.49 a pound. A great snack on a hot summer day. In organics, we are featuring California yellow or white peaches, $1.88 a pound. And California mini seedless watermelons, $0.88 a pound. Also, check out our local-grown organic white corn or bicolor corn, 69 cents each. We have plenty of ripe summer fruit to enjoy, so come and check out our great selection at Ben Lomond Market and Scotts Valley Market.
It's time to grab your clubs and escape to De La Viega Golf Course in Santa Cruz. Hello, I'm Tim Lostelot, head golf pro at De La Viega Golf Course. It's almost always a good time to grab your clubs and escape to De La Viega for a round of affordable golf and relaxation.
My name's Jason Collins. I'm a professional surfer here in Santa Cruz. My favorite hole at De La Viega would have to be the par 5, number 10 hole, a demanding driving hole, and a second shot over a barranca, and then you have to hit a third shot into a rather large green. So definitely one of the most challenging holes I've played in the county, let alone the state. I've gotten two eagles on the 10th hole, and it pretty much was like as good as a hole-in-one, I would say.
Escape to De La Viega Golf Course in Santa Cruz. The golf is affordable and challenging, the people local and friendly. De La Viega, a beautiful municipal golf course right in your backyard. You can't miss. For tee times, call 423-7212 or delaviegagolf.com.
Deal, deal. Get a daily deal. Hey, Santa Cruz County, get 50 to 90% off daily deals from cruiseondailydeal.com. That's right. Get 50 to 90% off daily deals on restaurants, pizza, fast food, spas, golf, sports, sailing, fishing, kayaking, whale watching, massage, events, hotel, wine tasting, B&Bs, boutiques, activities, and much, much more. Go to cruiseondailydeal.com today and register for the deals. Win a summer boardwalk, as every week, cruiseondailydeal.com will draw the names of two registrants for boardwalk season passes. Cruiseondailydeal.com will send you 50 to 90% off deals from your local merchants. And that's real money. Cruiseondailydeal.com is a property of Times Publishing Group, a proud member of Think Local First, and is the only locally owned daily deal program in Santa Cruz County. Get 50 to 90% off daily deals. Deals, register today at cruiseondailydeal.com. That's C-R-U-Z-O-N Daily Deal. When you register, make sure you put KSCO after your name to be eligible for the prize.
Hello, I'm Robert Stangero. Many Santa Cruzans know me as Big Boy. The original Stangero family has been in business since 1879. Our name stands for quality, quantity, and great service. Our Gilda's restaurant on the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf is still the fishing headquarters for the area. It's where fishermen gather every morning for coffee and breakfast before heading out on the bay. Stop by Gilda's and say hello. Both my son Dino and I look forward to meeting you at Gilda's at the center of the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf.
You're listening to KSCO, serving Aromas, the Carmel Highlands, and Paraiso Springs.
Have a little control over their environment, their life.
I admit that. There's
no
problem.
Don't you want? How about,
I'm
how would you like it if
it.
Your neighbor,
okay.
Your neighbor decided
you're proud
to
start that you did it, but
music.
You don't.
You give that to your house.
Quite the discussion has been spurred in the studio here.
Okay, well, are we on?
Yeah, we were on the air. I'm just letting everybody hear what everybody's saying in the studio. But,
okay. Oh, you mean?
Yeah, Ma, you didn't swear, did you?
Well, I'll watch out.
My mom has been known to swear, but not on the air, at least not knowingly.
Mom, do that, do they?
Yeah, Ma, tell her what you said. Tell them what you said at the Lions Club, but not on the air. Tell me, okay. All right. So, welcome back to the Saturday special. Oh, God. I want to thank Paul and Neely Tarabi of the California Grill Restaurant for sponsoring this program. A great restaurant out on the way to the fair. If you want to go on your way to the fair, at least while it's still there, you should stop on the way to the fair, on the way to or from, at California Grill, which is at the corner of Airport Boulevard and Freedom Boulevard. Great restaurant. All the foods there are wonderful. The old chef, a chef from the old Adolph's restaurant that everybody loved in Santa Cruz. Right, great salad dressing from the greatest pot roast you'll ever. I'm starting to drool all over the microphone. I better stop this commercial.
We used to come over once a month to Adolph's. So.
Yeah, and so fantastic. Yeah, you got the chef there at California Grill. So we thank California Grill for sponsoring this program here, the Saturday special on your favorite radio station. Okay. We got 10 minutes left. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people. I'm going to have to. Dave wrote on the screen, Kay keeps picking on these guys. It's great. So, all right. we got to talk in sound bites for the rest of the program, you guys. Okay, I can't we can't just get on and say what you're going to say, and don't wait for just make your comment here. Gene in Scotts Valley, you're next.
Thank you, Mr. Swerling. First of all, let me say that the current board, the fairgrounds, has done a superb job. The fair was in a shambles financially, and these people have worked very diligently to put it back on a sound financial footing and preserve something that's very important for our county. Secondly, they stepped out to come up with a master plan so they could make the fair viable for the future. Part of that is they had to go through the CEQA process, and they did. The first activity they did was had someone review their plan a consultant to determine if there were any environmental implications. That consultant recommended that they make the determination that they qualify for a categorical exemption. That is the CEQA process, and they did it. And now we have Jonathan Whitworth, who is Gary Patton's partner. They're in the same law firm, so these people cannot segregate themselves from Gary Patton. That's why he was at the meeting. They brought him in, and if anyone knows Patton, they should know Whitworth's reputation as well. And I invite people to go and look on the website for Jonathan Whitworth's firm. It's Whitworth and Parker. And go to the tab that says clients and look at the list of clients. It is an environmental activist who's who. And their intent here is not limited to protecting the rights of a few neighboring property owners. This is an attempt to destroy our fair, and I'll leave it at that.
Thank you very much for your call to the Saturday special, Gene. Richard and Watsonville, real quick.
Michael, thank you very much for having this program.
Sure.
And never discount electric car races, man. They're coming. They've already got electric dragsters out there.
Okay.
The flick of a switch. But Gary Patton was not famous for widening 17. Remember, he was famous for Rye Kelly and Wingspread.
Yeah. Oh, he's famous for a lot of things, you know.
You know, and
to Gary's credit, I give him credit for the high real estate prices, and you know, where the rest of the country is reeling from declining real estate prices, because Santa Cruz has been such an elitist place because of growth management that Gary Patton was behind. He's maintained values higher than any place else, so he gets some credit for that. But I don't think it's a good thing. I don't think it's a good thing.
Gary Patton's not our lawyer. He is not a partner in the law firm either.
Look, he was there the first two meetings representing you. Or you're saying he's representing his law firm, and his law firm's representing you.
Okay.
Doesn't really matter. Right, Kelly. It's from Palo Alto.
It's Richard. We got so many other calls.
Well, let me just say this. Patrice Edwards called up on the original show and said that the fair board has 600 volunteers. They could get other volunteers to take over the federal servants that they have out there now, right? There's three of them out there. Everybody's a volunteer. Then Max has to get on the board. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Richard. Margaret and Satan Cruz.
Saints Cruz now.
Okay.
There's nothing. Hey, I say this guy is doing bogus lawsuits to gain his end game. And I say bring it on. And I think you're a sucker to do it, too, because we're going to own you, buddy. Good. We like it loud.
What are you talking about?
We want the fear to rock. We want the fear to be louder. Times have changed, buddy. The fear is we the people.
Yeah, and your mother won the right to vote, and Smokey's no longer allowed in public places.
It's our fair.
Okay.
And we get to have our fair, see whatever it is at the times that are changing.
Okay.
If you don't like it, butt out.
Okay, thank you very much. Cindy and Celeste, you're next. Hello, Cindy. Well, how come for some reason I was... Cindy, are you there? I don't know what happened to Cindy. Gary in Watsonville. Gary,
can I talk on the show?
Yeah, go ahead. You're on the show now.
Okay, great. Hi, my name is Gary. I live about 3 miles away from the fairgrounds on a direct line site. I bought my home here in 2005. Nobody told me of any racing. Nobody told me of any noise when I bought the property. There was an attorney that represented the seller. The seller represented themselves also, and nothing in the documentation was stated to me that there was any loud noises that go on 7, 12 o'clock at night on Friday night. The noise is outrageous. It's almost every single Friday night, extremely loud. You can hear it all the way down to the airport. I think the fairgrounds needs to adopt a sound policy that's going to be fair to the neighbors, all the neighbors. There's over 7,000 neighbors that live within a 3-mile radius of this property.
What do you think, Brian? Is that a possibility?
It's completely inaccurate. The races have been ending between 9:30 and 10 o'clock, well before an 11 o'clock, well before an 11 o'clock curfew. And I invite you to sue your real estate agent.
That was withheld, that was not disclosed.
Okay, all right, so that's one fact. Now, here's the thing. There's a beautiful future here for this property. It's about 140 acres. There's been a lot of talk about taking away that racetrack and putting an equestrian center there. It'd be beautiful. There's no beautiful equestrian center in the entire area. There'd be a huge draw. The county, the fairgrounds would make tons of money on it. It would fulfill a great desire for a lot of people in the whole region. All of Northern California would probably just absolutely love it. It's a perfect location for it. It wouldn't be noise-producing, and it would generate a huge amount of money for the fairgrounds. Every other activities need to be considered for that property, what we call highest and best use in real estate. Everybody knows that. Highest and best use is going to be that which generates the most income for the property with the least amount of effect. And that has to also include the entire neighborhood. So this is a way, amongst other ways, that the fairgrounds could make a huge amount of money, be extremely prosperous, satisfy thousands and thousands of people's desires in the region, and everybody could be happy. And I think that's what needs to happen.
Gary, thank you so much.
When you have a choice of an extremely noise-producing event versus a non-noise-producing event that creates the same monetary results, if not better, then why go with the avenue that's going to cause a huge amount of turmoil in the community, very little profit, where you could gain much more profit with a huge amount of satisfaction in the community? What's wrong with that?
Well, this gentleman speaking on the radio has been in board meetings before. I recognize his voice. He's with CAFA. He's associated with the group. And
it doesn't matter
again,
whether
I'm
associated with the group or not. That has absolutely nothing to do with
it. I'll tell you, our decision-making, we don't have the capital to do the thing. If you want to build an equestrian center out there, buddy, go right ahead. I'm telling you, we don't have the money to do it right now. And let me tell you what, if our fair goes insolvent, let me tell you what can happen. Just like what happened to the Madera County Fair, they ran out of money. Now there's a 30-acre parking lot with a Lowe's sitting on it. You want that to happen to our fair? Is that the highest and best use for you?
Doesn't need to happen. And there's been all kinds of studies, and there's going to be all kinds of more studies. There's going to be all kinds of proposals that are going to come in that are going to show that this fairgrounds is going to be extremely prosperous forever without huge, loud, noise-making activity. There are alternatives. And
okay.
I and everybody else says, too.
Heritage Foundation did
a great job in coming up with a lot of money to help save the fairgrounds from going down under. All right, it got saved. Now let's make it work in a really prosperous, happy way for everybody in the region.
Okay, thank you, Gary. Odessa and Capitola, you're on the air.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
Okay, but we got to keep moving here because there's only a few minutes left.
I go to the races every Friday because I have friends out there who race. And, they shut down, the last time I was there, they shut the race down early because it was the time to do it and to make it be quiet.
Uh-huh.
And if they're hearing the noise after the race, this is the cars getting on the trailers. It's not racing. It's very strict about it. I was next to a railroad track within Idaho, and I couldn't tell the train to not go by at midnight or 2 o'clock in the morning. It's kind of ridiculous just because having this stupid argument.
Well, Odessa, last weekend the races closed at after 11 o'clock. That was last Friday, a week ago. So
it should be an easy thing to have a policy
they've been pretty,
at a certain rate, certain time.
The fairgrounds has recently done very well with that. I think the caller mentioned that they've been very strict, but this one time it was we had noise out there till after 11.
Okay.
We have documentation.
I was at the race, and it closed early. We did close at the 19th left instead of the 20th.
Well,
maybe that was to make up for the later. I don't know. Whatever. But thank you for your call. Anna Marie and Capitoli are on the air.
Yes, to the CAFA representative, he recently mentioned there are measures that could be taken to reduce the noise or to make them happy. I would like to know if that organization has offered to pay, has offered to help the fair board pay for these measures that they want to take. Because it sounds like the board can't afford that, nor can the board afford this lawsuit. So I'm not convinced that... Well,
the cost would be borne by the race car drivers, and they've agreed to do that.
Well, it's a good point that the caller brings up, because among one of the nine people that are suing us is the founder of West Marine, a multimillionaire.
Okay.
So are they willing to help? Are
it's
they
a good
going
question.
To put up some bucks? Because you're talking about your lifestyle, and the CAFA representative just mentioned it a few calls back, that it was his lifestyle that was interrupted, and he's putting this upon the greater community.
Anna Marie, thank you for your call. John Franich, is that your name?
Me?
Yeah, I guess.
Nope. How about John Prentice, Ocean Speedway?
Okay.
I just wanted to point out a couple quick facts that I think Max Kelly's trying to mislead the public. One is Gary Patton is involved with Whitworth. If you look at their letterhead, his name is on Whitworth's letterhead. And the second thing is Gary, who called in, who's a CAFA member, I think he should be concerned about his own property because he has questionable activities up there. And the other thing is their races didn't end after 11, and we only have 29 races. Thanks, and I don't want to take up any more time for the community.
Appreciate the call. Don and Salinas, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I'll try to be quick on this. Number one, your last caller about building an equestrian center. If they did that, your guests would sue them over the flies and the smell. And this what they're doing to the fairgrounds is the definition of selfishness. It's like cutting down a sequoia tree because it's blocking your view of the sunset. And this environmental law is being misused all over the state to shut down fairgrounds, parades, fireworks displays, take plastic bags out of stores. And what I want to ask your guest is, the fairgrounds bring in money, culture, entertainment, education to the community, and tourism. What do they bring to the table? They don't bring anything but a big fat load of selfishness, a big fat load of I'm more important than anything else in the world. And I really think that the misuse of these laws sucks, and I really think that your guests suck, and that's pretty much
Thanks for calling the Saturday special, Don and Salinas. Joe in Live Oak, you're on the air. Quick.
Yeah, okay, quick as I can. Mr. Kelly, I have to say it. I think you are self-centered, and what you guys are doing, if you're really serious about making everybody work together, drop your lawsuit, buddy, and that'll get the ball started. As for your $1 house that you moved into the neighborhood,
He didn't do it. Someone else did. But.
Well, whether he did it or somebody else did it, that's what it boils down to. Max, move. See
okay. ya. Rhonda in SoCal, you're on the air.
Yes, I want to thank the people at the fair for providing low-cost entertainment for the residents in Santa Cruz County, and John Prentice for reviving, and Ocean Honda, reviving the races when they were going under. So, I'm thankful for them, and I am disgusted with the self-centeredness of the people that are bringing lawsuits to the fairgrounds people. That is disgusting. I've been living in Santa Cruz County greater than 50 years, and I am politically active, and these people suck like Hoover vacuum cleaner.
Okay. All righty. Thanks very much for your call. That's the last call, the Saturday special. I want to thank our guests. Max Kelly, Alan Harriman, and Brian Mathias, I think all you guys are great for coming into the... It's getting harder and harder to get both sides to be represented on controversial topics, so I really take my hat off to all of you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Mike.
And we're... something tells me we're going to be talking a lot more about this on the radio here, but Dave, thank you. Great job, as always, and we're well into Fox News, but it's KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. Here's what's left of Fox News.
Clean job, but it comes with no job description.
So she made up her own, speaking out on women's health and women's rights issues, taking her fight with breast cancer, and later her post-White House addictions to painkillers and alcohol. California's Betty Ford Center is her lasting legacy. Chris Stanley, Fox News Radio.
Aid workers in Haiti say they're seeking
seeing 1,000 new cases of cholera a day. It's a new surge. 5,500 have died since October. The flags are at half staff at Rangers Ballpark in Arlington, Texas, where a man fell to his death trying to catch a ball.
Rangers President Nolan Ryan calls the tragedy a freak accident.
As a father and grandfather, my heart goes out for that family.
Firefighter Shannon Stone tumbled over a railing and fell 20 feet while trying to catch a ball tossed by Texas outfielder Josh Hamilton. Hamilton, the reigning American League MVP, heard the screams of Stone's six-year-old son.
God has a plan, and don't always understand what that plan is.
The Rangers examining the railings, although they were built above standard code, Major League Baseball also investigating. Pam Husso, Fox News Radio.
In Northeast Ohio, a man climbed 40 feet down the stone walls of a well to rescue his toddler son. The boy fell through rotted plywood covering the well near his grandfather's home. The boy had been learning to swim and was able to stay afloat in 10 feet of water until his father got to him. A rescue team used ropes to get them both to safety. Karen Riegel, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Good afternoon. You've got it tuned into AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. It's Saturday, July 9th, 2011. I'm Dave Michaels with traffic and weather for you. We'll start off with traffic. Let's start off with a live look at the Fishhook. Northbound traffic is moving at the limit, while southbound traffic is looking unusually like it's slow moving. It's looking like slow but steady, about 25, maybe 30 miles per hour. That is southbound traffic at the Fishhook. Northbound 101, just south of Main Street in Monterey, a traffic hazard. Monterey County, a traffic hazard reported just about 20 minutes ago. This is a vehicle stalled in the center divider. Your KSCO weather forecast for tonight: a chance of drizzle after 11 p.m. along with patchy fog, cloudy conditions, and lows around 52 degrees. Your forecast for tomorrow: a chance of drizzle in the morning, sunny conditions by the afternoon with highs around 70 degrees. And your boaters forecast for tonight: west winds 10 to 20 knots, local gusts of up to 25 knots, becoming northwest 5 to 15 knots.